أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، then to continue with العقيدة الطحاوية, the creed compiled by Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi رحمه الله, with the explanation of Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan حفظه الله. Then last week we had the points 127 to 130 with regard to the Quran. ولا نجادل في القرآن ونشهد أنه كلام رب العالمين. And we do not dispute concerning the Quran, and we bear witness that it is the speech of the Lord of the whole of creation. All the way through to point number 130. Then the author At-Tahawi rahimahullah, he moves on to a different topic which we'll take today, on the points number 131 to point number 136. So point number 131, ولا نكفر أحدا من أهل القبلة بذنب ما لم يستحله. And we do not declare anyone from the people of the Qibla to be unbelievers because of a sin, as long as the person does not consider it lawful. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, he said, وَلَا نُكَفِّرُ أَحَدًا مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ بِذَنْبٍ مَا لَمْ يَسْتَحِلُ لَهُ. And we do not declare anyone from the people of the Qibla to be unbelievers because of a sin, as long as the person does not consider it to be lawful. He said, this is just as has preceded, that a sin, as long as it is not kufr, unbelief, or shirk, which takes a person out of the religion, then, as long as that is not the case, then we do not declare a Muslim to be an unbeliever because of that. So Sheikh said this point preceded, and he meant that it preceded in explanation of point number 124. Then he said, rather we believe that he is a believer who is deficient in Iman. And we believe about a Muslim who commits sin. Having said we don't declare him to be an unbeliever, as long as it's not kufr or shirk, which takes a person out of Islam, then he said, we don't do takfir of him, we don't declare him to be an unbeliever. He said, rather we believe that he is a believer who is deficient in Iman, under the threat of punishment, and under al-Mashi'ah, under Allah's will. As we've had before, the point meaning under Allah's will, meaning that the person of major sin who dies upon that, then if Allah wills, Allah will punish him for that for a while in the fire. Or if Allah wills, Allah will pardon him and not punish him for it. So he said, rather he is under the threat of punishment and under Allah's will. This is the creed of the Muslim. This is the creed and belief of the Muslim. As long as the person does not consider it lawful. As long as the person who commits that sin doesn't consider the sin to be lawful for himself. But if he considers it lawful, if he thinks that what he's doing is lawful for himself, he takes it as being lawful, taking lawful that which Allah has made forbidden, then he becomes an unbeliever. So if he considers as lawful riba, usury, or drinking intoxicants, or unslaughtered meat, or the meat of the pig, or fornication. If he considers that which Allah has forbidden to be lawful, to be permissible, then he becomes a disbeliever in Allah. And the opposite is also the case. If he holds to be forbidden that which Allah has made lawful, then he becomes a disbeliever in either case. If Allah has made something forbidden and the person thinks, but it's for me, it's lawful, then he's an unbeliever. If Allah has made something lawful and the person treats it for himself and considers it for himself, rather, as being the opposite, then he said he is an unbeliever. And he quotes an ayah, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم. Surah Tawbah, the 9th surah, ayah 31. With the explanation, they took their rabbis and their monks as lords besides Allah, and the Messiah, the son of Maryam, Isa ibn Maryam. It is the same with him. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and the tafsir of the ayah is that they declared that which was forbidden lawful for them, and they declared the lawful forbidden, and they, the people, obeyed them. And that's the tafsir of this ayah. And then they give an evidence, the evidence for this in a footnote. So from Adi ibn Hatim radiallahu anhu, who said, I came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I had a golden cross hanging from my neck. Obviously before, when he was a Christian, he came, and he had a golden cross hanging, as he said, from my neck. And he said, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Ya Adi yutrah, Ya Adi yutrah, Ya Adi yutrah, anka hadha al-wathan. O Adi, throw this idol off from yourself, in the cross. O Adi, throw this idol off from yourself. He said, and I heard him reciting from Surah Bara'ah, the 9th Surah, Surah Tawbah, the other name for Surah Tawbah, that he recited, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. The same ayah with the explanation, and they, meaning the people of the book, they took their rabbis and their monks as lords besides Allah. Then he said, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they had not used to worship them, but rather, when they declared things lawful for them, they took them as lawful. And when the rabbis and their like made things lawful for the people, then they took them as being lawful. And when they made anything forbidden for them, they took it as being forbidden. The hadith reported by Tirmidhi. Shaykh al-Albani declared the hadith Hassan, good. In other words, an evidence that this is unbelief. Taking that which Allah has made forbidden as being lawful, or taking that which Allah has made lawful as being forbidden, this is a proof that is kufr, unbelief. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, but if a person commits a sin, and he does not consider it to be lawful, rather he acknowledges that it is something forbidden, then he does not become an unbeliever. Even if the sin is a major sin, which is less than shirk and kufr. However, he will be, this person who commits a major sin, as long as it doesn't amount to shirk, which takes a person outside Islam, doesn't amount to kufr, unbelief, it's a major sin, then he does not become an unbeliever by committing that sin. He will be mu'minan naqis, الإيمان أو فاسقا بكبيرته مؤمن بإيمانه. That he will be a believer who is deficient in Iman. Or another way of putting it, that he will be a sinner in accordance with his major sin. A believer in accordance with his Iman. These two phrases that Sheikh al-Fawzan uses to describe this person, the person who commits major sin, as long as he doesn't take it to be something lawful, and as long as the major sin is not shirk or kufr, then as he says, we don't declare him to be an unbeliever for committing it. But he will be a believer deficient in Iman, or put another way, he will be a sinner in accordance with his major sin, a believer in accordance with his Iman. Then he said, and his saying, the saying of the author, وَلَا نُكَفِّرُ بِذَنْبِ, and we do not declare someone to be an unbeliever because of a sin. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, this is not without restriction, because the person who abandons the prayer, abandons the salah, deliberately, unknowingly, becomes an unbeliever. As is indicated by the book and the sunnah. So Shaykh al-Fawzan is saying it's not without restriction. This is the phrase that we do not declare anyone to be an unbeliever because of a sin, but this is an overall statement, but it's not unrestricted. It doesn't apply in every case. He said, for example, the person who abandons the prayer, he is an unbeliever. The one who abandons the prayer deliberately becomes an unbeliever. And as a side point, obviously, as we've heard before a number of times in different lessons, the scholars from the earliest times have differed about this matter, about the person who abandons the prayer, whether he becomes an unbeliever or not. Some of them saying that abandonment of it, as long as he acknowledges the obligation, and he just abandons it out of laziness, then he does not become an unbeliever. And others, and amongst them, as we can see, Sheikh al-Fawzan, taking the other view, that abandonment of the prayer, even though in his heart he holds it to be obligatory, mere abandonment of it, means he's lazy or the like, he just doesn't pray, that will make him a kafir, an unbeliever. That's the view of Sheikh al-Fawzan and some of the other scholars. And they mention an evidence for this in the footnote. They say, so from Buraydah ibn al-Khusayyib al-Aslami radiallahu anhu, who said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-ahdu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salah, faman tarakaha faqad kafar. The covenant which is between us and them is the prayer, so whoever abandons it has become an unbeliever. The hadith reported by Ahmad, At-Tirmidhi, An-Nasa'i, and Ibn Majah, and declared sahih, authentic by Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah. So Shaykh al-Fawzan made the point here, that this phrase, we don't declare a Muslim to be an unbeliever because of a sin, is not without restriction. A restriction of that is, in the view of Shaykh al-Fawzan and some of the sheikhs, a person who abandons the prayer. That's a sin, which is counted as being kufr, unbelief. Then with regard to the next point that At-Tahawi rahimahullah brings, he said, وَلَا نَقُولُ لَا يَضُرُّ مَعَ الْإِيمَانِ ذَنْبٌ لِمَنْ عَمِلَهُ. And we do not say, when a person has Iman, then he will not be harmed by any sin which he commits. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, as is said by the Murji'ah. In other words, this point is a point of refutation of what the Murji'ah say. Those who say that when a person has Iman, sin will not harm him after that. Whatever sin he commits, it won't harm him. So the point of At-Tahawi is, and we do not say, when a person has Iman, and he will not be harmed by any sin which he commits. Sheikh Fawzan said, as is said by the Murji'ah. They say, as long as a person believes in his heart, then he is a mu'min. He is a true believer, complete in iman. And as for actions, then they are something not very important. What the view of the Murji'ah? The person has iman and he believes in his heart, then he's a perfect believer, complete believer, and actions are not very important. Sheikh Fawzan said, continuing with their saying, the saying of the Murji'ah, so the person who does not pray and does not fast and does not perform Hajj and does not pay the zakat and does not perform anything from the acts of obedience, they say about him that he is a believer, a mu'min, because of what is in his heart alone. Then this is from the greatest of misguidance. Sheikh Fawzan said, so the reputation of them is that sins do cause harm, whatever the case. Some of them remove iman altogether, in some sins which a person commits. Some of them remove iman altogether, and some of them do not remove it altogether. Rather, they reduce it. And the person, when the person commits the sin, is under the threat of punishment applicable for the sin. So Sheikh Fawzan has mentioned the refutation of the saying of the Murji'ah, that contrary to their saying, the reality is that sins do damage iman. There are some sins which are so serious, in which amount to unbelief, which totally remove iman. And there are some which don't amount to unbelief, which reduce the person's iman. And they cause the person to be under the threat of punishment. And with regard to the next point, point 133, Tahawi rahimahullah continues, وَنَرْجُو لِلْمُحْسِنِينَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنْ يَعَفُوَ عَنْهُمْ وَيُدْخِلَهُمْ الْجَنَّةَ بِرَحْمَتِهِ ولا نأمن عليهم ولا نشهد لهم بالجنة. He said, and we have hope for the doers of good from the believers, that he, meaning Allah, that he will pardon them and enter them into paradise by his mercy. But we do not feel certain about their being safe, nor do we bear witness of paradise for them. Sheikh Fawzan said, this is the topic of ash-shahada lil-mu'ayyin. This is the topic of bearing witness about an individual person, that he is from the people of paradise, or that he is from the people of the fire. And he said, we do not bear witness for anyone that they will be in paradise or in the fire except with a proof, except for a person whom the chosen messenger alayhi salatu wassalam has borne witness that he will be from the people of paradise, in which case we bear witness for that for him. And whomever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam bore witness that he will be in the fire, then we bear witness of that for him. This is with regard to individuals, individual people, individuals by name. That's the principle. And with regard to overall, then we believe that the unbelievers, the kafirs, will be in the fire, and that the believers, the mu'mineen, will be in paradise. So you made the difference there. The case of individual people, then we only affirm paradise or fire for an individual person in accordance with the text. And as for overall statement, then we say, and we believe, that as for the unbelievers, they'll be in the fire. And as for the believers, they will be in paradise. Then he said, but as for particular cases, then we do not pass judgment about a person except with an evidence. However, we have hope for the doer of good, and we fear for the doer of evil. That is the aqidah, the creed and belief of the Muslims. If we see a Muslim who is upon good, then we have hope for him. If we see a Muslim upon evil, upon evil deeds, then we have fear for him. And Al-Tahawi, rahmahullah, the next point, which is numbered here, is point number 134. وَنَسْتَغْفِرُ لِمُسِيئِهِمْ وَنَخَافُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا نُقَمِّتُهُمْ وَلَا نُقَمِّتُهُمْ. And we seek forgiveness for the evildoers, and we fear for them, but we do not cause them to despair. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, we seek forgiveness for the evildoer, the person who commits evil or commits sins. We seek forgiveness for the person who commits evil, because he is our brother. Obviously referring to the believers, amongst the believers, amongst Muslims, a Muslim who is upon evil actions. So we seek forgiveness for the one who commits evil, because he is our brother. And we make dua, we make supplication for him, for repentance, for tawbah, and that he be guided to correctness, even though he is a sinner. Because this is the right of Iman over us. And he got some evidence for that. I mean, as long as he's a Muslim, he's our brother in Iman, and he has that right over us that we make dua for him to be rectified, and that he grants him repentance. He has an evidence. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Surah Muhammad, the 47th surah, ayah 19, with the explanation, and seek forgiveness for your sin and for the male and female believers. So it's a command in that regard. Seek forgiveness for your sin and for the male believers and for the female believers. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, and we do not cause the sinner to despair of Allah's mercy, as is the statement of the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. We do not cause him to despair of Allah's mercy. Rather, he, meaning the person who is upon sin, he is under the threat of punishment, and he is under al-Mashi'ah, he is under Allah's will. And if he repents, then Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, will accept his repentance. And he quotes three ayahs in this regard. Three ayahs for this position of the people of the Sunnah about the person of sin, that we don't cause him to despair of Allah's mercy. He said, the first ayah, إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. So Yusuf, the 12th surah, ayah 87. with the explanation, no one despairs of the mercy of Allah except the unbelieving people. Except those people who are unbelievers. Then he quotes the second ayah. وَمَنْ يَقْمَطُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّهِ إِلَّا الضَّالُّونَ Surah Al-Hijr, the 15th surah, ayah 56. With the explanation, and who despairs of the mercy of his Lord except for those who are astray? And he quotes the third ayah, يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ Surah Al-Zumar, the 39th surah, ayah 53. With the explanation, O my servants, who have greatly wronged themselves, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and the wa'idiyya, those people who take the text of wa'id, the text of threat, the wa'idiyya, those who always apply the textual threats, who are the khawarij, and those who follow their way. They are the ones who cause the people to despair of the mercy of Allah. And they take them out of the religion because of their sins, even when they are less than shirk. And that's the position of the Khawarij. That as for the Muslims who commit major sins, the Khawarij take them out of Islam. They say they're kuffar outside Islam because of that. And therefore they cause them to despair of Allah's mercy, contrary to the position of the people of the Sunnah. And with regard to the next point, all these points being connected, point 135, the saying of At-Tahawi, Rahimahullah, وَالْأَمْنُ وَالْإِيَاسُ يَنْقُلَانِ عَنْ مِلَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِ And feeling totally secure and totally despairing take a person outside the religion of Islam. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, from the fundamentals of the Islamic aqidah, the Islamic creed and belief, is al-khawf wal-raja, is having fear and having hope. And these two are from the greatest fundamentals of creed and belief. And it is essential that al-khawf, fear, and al-raja, hope, are combined. It's essential that a person, the believer, gathers these two together, has both. He has fear and he has hope. It is essential that fear and hope are combined. It is not sufficient to restrict yourself to one of them alone. Just as He, the Most High, said in description of His prophets, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا Surah Al-Anbiya, the 21st Surah, Ayah 90, with the explanation, as Shaykh al-Fawzan said, in the context of the Prophets, that they used to hasten to do good works. They used to rush to do good works. And they used to call upon us in hope and fear. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, saying raghaban, this means hope. And rahaban, this is fear. So in the ayah, this description of the prophets means that they used to call upon Allah, invoke Allah and call upon Allah and worship Allah upon raghaban wa rahaban. Upon hope and fear. And he quotes another ayah. He said, and he, the perfect and most high, said, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ يَبْتَغُونَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمُ الْوَسِيلَةِ أَيُّهُمْ أَقْرَبُ وَيَرْجُونَ رَحْمَتَهُ وَيَخَافُونَ عَذَابَهُ إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّكَ كَانَ مَحْظُورًا. Surah Al-Isra, the 17th surah, ayah 57, with the explanation, those whom they call upon themselves seek a means to draw themselves closer to their Lord, to see which of them can draw closest to Him. And they hope for His mercy, and they fear His punishment. Indeed, the punishment of your Lord is something to be feared. Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, Ayah 57. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so they gathered between fear and hope. He quotes another ayah. He said, and he, the mighty, he, the majestic and most high, said, أَمَّنْ هُوَ قَانِتٌ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ سَاجِدًا وَقَائِمًا يَحْذَرُ الْآخِرَةِ وَيَرْجُو رَحْمَةَ رَبِّهِ. Surah Az-Zumar, the 39th surah, ayah 9. With the explanation, is one who is obedient to Allah throughout the night, in prostration and in standing, fearing the hereafter and hoping for the mercy of his Lord. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and these two, meaning a person having fear and a person having hope, and these two must be accompanied by al-mahabba lillah. They must be accompanied by having love of Allah. So these three things are essential. Al-mahabba lillah, wal-khawfu minhu subhanahu wa ta'ala, wal-raja'u lifadlihi. These three things are essential. You must have them. Loving Allah and having fear of Him, He, the Perfect and Most High, and hoping, having hope for His favor. So these three are essential for the believer. Having love of Allah, having fear of Him, and hoping, having hope in Him. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so whoever restricts himself to love alone, then he is a Sufi. He's a Sufi. Because the Sufis worship Allah, the mighty and majestic, upon al-mahabba, upon love. They do not fear and they do not have hope. They say, one of them says, I do not worship him hoping for his paradise, nor fearing from his fire. I only worship him out of love of him alone. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and this is misguidance, and Allah's refuge is sought. A person who restricts himself to just having love of Allah, then that is and no fear and no hope, and that, as he said, that is misguidance. And he quotes a second case, and whoever worships Allah upon fear alone, then he is from the Khawarij. Because the Khawarij take hold of the aspect of fear and of threats alone, and they declare people to be unbelievers because of sins. So it's the second kind of deviated person, one who worships Allah just out of fear, having fear alone, having no hope, just fear alone. And he mentions that the third type, and whoever worships Allah based upon hope alone, then he is from the Murji'a. Those who take hold of the aspect of hope alone, and they leave aside the aspect of fear. And then he mentions the correct path. He said, as for the people of Tawheed, those who are upon correct worship of Allah alone, then they worship Allah with all these three together, upon love and fear and hope, بِالْحُبِّ وَالْخَوْفِ وَالرَّجَى. And then the fear is not accompanied by despair, since if it has despair of the mercy of Allah along with it, it becomes unbelief, it becomes kufr. He quotes some evidence in the fear of Allah, it doesn't reach such a level that the person despairs altogether of Allah's mercy. Because if it does so, if a person despairs altogether of Allah's mercy, then this is, as he said, this is unbelief. He quotes the evidence, إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. The ayah we had before, Surah Yusuf, the 12th surah, ayah 87, with the explanation, no one despairs of the mercy of Allah except for the unbelieving people. And he quotes the second evidence. He said, Al-Khalil, the especially beloved one, Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wassalam, he said, he quotes the ayah, وَمَنْ يَقْنَطُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّهِ إِلَّا الضَّالُّونَ. And with the explanation, it's the ayah from Surah Al-Hijr, the 15th surah, ayah 56, with the explanation, and who despairs of the mercy of his Lord except for those who are astray? And he makes a point with regard to hope, how the hope should be as well. He said, and likewise, al-raja, the hope, should not be hope which is accompanied by al-aman, which is accompanied by feeling safe and secure from Allah's plan and having no fear. For this is the position of the murji'a, and it is a misguided position. And he quotes evidence against that, against having hope but no fear. He quotes the ayah, and I'm feeling safe and secure against Allah's plan. Quotes the ayah, أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ فَلَا يَأْمَنُ مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th surah, ayah 99, with the explanation, do you feel safe and secure from the plan of Allah? Then no one feels safe from the plan of Allah except for a people who are losers. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, so hope alone is unbelief, and fear without any hope is unbelief. And that is what the author said, يَنْقُلَانِ عَنْ مِلَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِ, that these two take a person outside the religion of Islam. In the point he just made, in point 135, وَالْأَمْنُ وَالْإِيَاسُ يَنْقُلَانِ عَنْ مِلَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِ, and feeling totally secure and totally despairing take a person outside the religion of Islam. Then Sheikh Fawzan said, and therefore some of the Salaf, some of the pious predecessors said, it is obligatory upon the servant that he should be between al-khawf wal-raja. He should be in between fear and hope, meaning he should have them both equally, just like the two wings of a bird. And some of the Salaf actually stated the phrase like that, that a person should gather between fear and hope. He should have fear and hope like the two, it should be like a bird with its two wings, one like fear and one like hope. Shaka Fauzan said, and the two wings of a bird are equally balanced. If one is deficient, it will fall down. So likewise the servant should be between fear and hope, having them like the two wings of a bird. And the last point that's connected here, وَسَبِيلُ الْحَقِّ بَيْنَهُمَا لِأَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ, and the true path for the people of the Qibla lies between these two. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, الْحَقُّ بَيْنَهُمَا, the truth is between these two, meaning between fear and hope. لِأَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ, for the people of the Qibla. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning the Muslims. They are called Ahlul Qibla, the people of the Qibla, because they pray towards the Kaaba. And as for a person who does not pray towards the Kaaba, then he is not from the Muslims, because Allah has commanded turning towards the Kaaba. So what is obligatory is to follow his command. He the perfect, when he abrogated turning to face Jerusalem, because he originally, the direction of prayer was Jerusalem, and Allah abrogated that and the direction and changed the direction to the Kaaba in Mecca. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so the believer follows the commands because he is a slave of Allah. And he quotes the ayah, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الْقِبْلَةَ الَّتِي كَانَ وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الْقِبْلَةَ الَّتِي كُنْتَ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا لِنَعْلَمَ مَنْ يَتَّبِعُ الرَّسُولَ مِمَّنْ يَنْقَلِبُ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ. Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, Ayah 143. The explanation, and we did not make the previous Qibla, the previous direction of prayer, which he used to be upon, except so that we should know who will follow the messenger, apart from those and away from those who will turn back upon his heels. From the one who will turn back upon his heels. And that's where we'll leave the explanation until next time, inshallah. Just quickly, as a summary of what we had, some of the major points that we had. And firstly, one point is that we do not declare a Muslim to be an unbeliever because of a sin, unless that sin is kufr or major shirk, or unless the person considers that sin to be lawful for him, in which case he will leave Islam for considering the sin lawful. Another point that we had here was that we say that a person who is guilty of major sin is liable to the threat of punishment, and he is under Allah's will, under the Mashi'a. The second point is that, contrary to what the Murji'a say, that sins damage Iman. Some sins are so serious that they totally remove a person's Iman, and some sins Iman. And that a person who is guilty of major sin is still a believer, but he is deficient in his Iman. And a third point we had was that we do not bear witness of paradise nor of hellfire for any individual person, except for someone mentioned in a text of the book or the Sunnah. If someone, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stated is in the fire or is in paradise, then we state likewise. Otherwise, we stay silent. And the fourth point is that we hope for the doers of good from the believers. We have hope for them, that Allah will pardon and forgive them and enter them into paradise. And as for the evildoers from the believers, then we fear for them, but we don't cause them to despair of Allah's mercy. Rather, we make dua for them that Allah grants them repentance, and that they are corrected. And a fifth point, that the believer must combine three things: fear and hope and love of Allah. All of these three, he must be found in the believer. And that someone who has only fear and no hope and no love, he's just got fear, then that he's upon the way of the Khawarij. Someone who has just hope, no fear, no love, he worships Allah upon hope only, then he is upon the way of the Murji'ah. And someone who has just love of Allah, but no hope and no fear, then he is upon the way of the Sufis. Alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification? There's many eyes that could be mentioned, like the from Surah Al-Baqarah, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ, from Surah Al-Baqarah, in the context of the unbelievers having love for that which they used to worship. As for the believers, then they are more severe in their love for Allah. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ, they are most severe in their love of Allah. And many of these many ayahs that could be quoted. The point that the Shaykh al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, made was that it's essential for the believer, as he said, some of the Salaf mentioned the point, that it is obligatory upon the servant that he should be between fear and hope, meaning he should have them equally. Like the two wings of a bird, whose wings must be equally balanced. If they're not, if one wing is weaker and the one is stronger, obviously it won't be able to fly straight, it will fall down. Some of the Salaf make the point that at various particular conditions, that one of them should become stronger. That while a person is healthy, he's got equally fear. It's not that he's got a small amount of one and a large amount of other. He's got both fear and hope as is required. But in certain conditions, that one of them will become stronger or may outweigh the person. And they mention that at the point of death, for example. I say at the point of death, when a person is, if you're with a believer who's dying, a Muslim who's dying, they should encourage him to have hope in Allah. Encourage him upon that. And that he's at the point of death, the aspect of hope should be more. The person's hoping for Allah's mercy. But it doesn't mean that he totally abandons the fear of Allah. But just at the point of death, some of the Salaf mentioned that hope should outweigh. Because then, when, for example, a person is on his deathbed, he's lying, he's not able to get up and do actions and the like, he's almost passing on to his Lord, therefore the aspect of having hope in Allah's mercy should outweigh. No doubt he should repent from his sins and the like, but then have hope in Allah's mercy. And they say, likewise, a person when he's strong and active and able, that fear should be uppermost in his mind at that time, he should be fearful, and that fear will be an encouragement for him to add to his good deeds and not rely and rest upon the good deeds he's done so far, but out of fear of Allah, fear that his good deeds are not enough, so he will act and do more good deeds. Wallahu a'lam. As his brother mentioned, there's an authentic hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to one of his companions and he asked him how he felt. The companion was at the point of death, he was dying. So he said, I find myself between fear and hope. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised that condition, is from dying upon the condition of both fear and hope together. I mentioned that no servant will be upon the life of that. And then there's the hadith. Allah mustafa. Homework over the point of the hadith about the companion was on the point of death, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to him and asked him how he found himself. So he said, between fear and hope. Homework, find the hadith. You find the hadith and find the wording as well. I'm not just saying hadith somewhere, it's in Bukhari. Yeah. Yeah, I saw it in Bukhari and I closed the book. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la